Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Second Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Glory to God. Somebody say abundant life is my kind of life. Yeah, we're commanded to live it. That's the kind of life that Jesus came to give us. Abundant life, which means we are to abound in life. We are to excel in life. We are to become rich in life, be well supplied in life. That's God's command for our life. That's His will for our life. That's His desire for our life. Notice here, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and in verse 17, it says, but as you abound, let's say the word again, abound. As you abound in everything. In everything. You're to abound in everything. You're to excel, increase, overflow, do better and better and better in everything. In faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us. See that you abound in this grace also, and in its context there, he's talking about the grace of giving. Financially, giving. We need to abound. We need to excel in these areas. Let me read this from the Amplified Bible. It says, now as you abound and excel and are at the front in everything. You and I are to move to the front in everything. We're not to settle for the back seat. We're not to settle for to be back. We're to excel, move forward, and be at the front. Be at the front, number one, in spiritual things. Be at the front in everything. That means if you're in the front, you're in the lead. You're the one leading the way. Well, friend, who do you think is supposed to be leading people in life? The church. The church of the living God, those that walk in the light of God, those that know the truth, those that are led by the Spirit of God, we're to be out in front leading the way. We're not to be following the world. We're to be following God. And if we're following God, then we'll be leading the way for the world. I said, if we're following God, we'll be leading the way for the world rather than following the world. Now, as you abound and excel and are at the front in everything, in faith, in expressing yourselves, we should become more expressive. In knowledge, in all zeal, that's passion, and in your love for us. See to it that you come to the front now and abound and excel in this gracious work of almsgiving also. You know, I've had a couple people say to me over the years, I'm going to be the biggest giver in this church. I'm going to be the biggest. See, that's a biblical, that's a scriptural, that is a godly way to think. I'm going to be the biggest giver. What does that mean? I'm going to be out in the front of everybody else. We're to excel. Everybody say, I'm to excel. Abound. Get out in the front. In everything in life. Be the best. Be the best. That's what you're supposed to be. The best. Someone folks can look up to. A mentor to those that are coming up in the Lord behind you. Come on, we're to be the best. We're not just to make it in life. We're not just to hang on and say, thank you, Jesus. You died for me so I can go to heaven. And I thank God that, you know, even though I'm just an old sinner and I'm still got my same old way of doing things and living life and I've got my problems, God knows my heart. And he loves me just as I am. And so I just thank God that no matter how I live my life, I am a child of God and I am going to heaven. Do you know, I just illustrated to you the attitude of probably the majority of Christians in this nation. That is so much of the attitude of the church world today. I got a ticket to heaven through believing in Jesus. Thank you for my ticket. Now let's go watch a movie. Let's get some pizza. I've got my ticket to heaven. I'm secure for heaven. Friend, he came to give you life and that more abundantly. In other words, he came that you might abound in everything in life. That you would excel and rise to the front and be the best at who you are. A Christian, a child of God, a born-again believer, a member of the body of Christ, an heir to the throne of Almighty God. Come on. You've been raised up, made to sit together with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you're to be the best at what you are. Everything you do, man, you are seeking to do it with excellence. That's because you represent him. You represent the master, our champion. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice over here in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians, the first chapter. He says in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound. Say that. Abound. We're talking about abounding tonight. We're talking about abundant life tonight. Once again, we see another scripture saying that your love needs to abound. What do you mean? It needs to overflow. You need to excel in this love life that God has given you. He has given you his very own love life, or his life of love. He has given it to you and I. Romans 5:5 tells us the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The love of God's been poured out into us. Now, what are we supposed to do? We are to excel in this love walk. We are to abound, overflow with this love that's been poured out into our heart. That means we're going to work this love. We're going to develop this love. We're going to learn of this love. Meditate this love, talk this love. We're going to abound in this. We're going to come to the front. We're going to be the best at love, the best at love. Hallelujah. Right now, we live in a society and a world today that knows nothing about love. Their idea of love is some kind of perverted, twisted thing. And they're calling it love. Bless God, you and I need to rise up and show them what love is all about. We need to show what the true love of God is really all about. So he says, this I pray, that your love may abound. You got this love. It's your love, but it's God's love. God's love in you has become your love. You have this love. Now may it abound still more and more. We could even add to that without hurting the scripture at all and say more and more. And more, and more, and more. We're talking about the love of God abounding. More, and more, and more, and more. Just keep on growing. Keep on overflowing in that love of God. Remember, if you're walking in God's love, you're walking perfect. The love of God fulfills all the Old Testament laws, all the commandments. If you're walking in that love, you're fulfilling all the commandments. You're walking perfect. According to 1 Corinthians 13, you're walking perfect when you're walking in this love. How many people believe we should be reaching for perfection? Here's another attitude in the body of Christ. Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. So get out of my way. It's a bumper sticker. He put it on the back of our car so we could cut people off. And if they recognize us from church, they understand not to expect much from you. You're just forgiven. You're not perfect. But if we're walking in love, we're walking perfect. And we're to abound in love, so therefore, we should be seeking to be perfectionists. Hallelujah. Seeking to be perfectionists. Somebody say, I'm a perfectionist. When it comes to love, when it comes to my love walk, I don't let nothing get by. No, no, man. If it's not lovely, we jump on it like a frog on a fly. We just jump on that thing. Hallelujah. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more and more and more in knowledge and all discernment. We need to become smarter and more discerning in life. That you may approve the things that are excellent. Approve the things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Man, we're not just talking about having a plaque in heaven that says righteous. Man, we live like sinners, but thank God, in God's eyes, we're righteous. That's another attitude in the body of Christ. Well, you know, we're just old sin, but in God's eyes, we're righteous. Well, bless God, you need to become righteous in your eyes by walking in the righteousness of God that he's made you. And he didn't just make you righteous in name only. He made you righteous in your nature. It is your very nature now to be righteous, because you got the nature of God in you, which is the love of God, the Spirit of God, who's one spirit with your spirit. Are you following me? So we're to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. See, this sounds extreme, don't it? I said, this sounds extreme, don't it? Well, the Christian life is extreme. It's an intense life. It's a passionate life. It's a life of excellence. Reaching for the best, reaching to be at the front of everything, to be number one. We're all looking for the number one spot. The number one spot in him, because he is number one. And we are in him. So we are to be seeking the number one spot in everything in life, because we're number one in number one, who is Christ. Somebody say, I'm number one. In number one, who is Christ. Amen. So we're to abound more and more in love. We are to approve of things that are excellent. And we are to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. You think about a tree, you know, a fruit tree. Walk over to some of these fruit trees and someone says, look, it's a pear tree. And you walk up there and, you know, you're trying to find the pears. And they'll go, oh, there's one. There's another one all the way over here. And, you know, it's hard to see because there aren't really all that many pears on the pear tree. Filled with the fruits of righteousness. I mean, our branches are just hanging low with the fruit of God weighing down on it. Amen. We just got all this fruit of righteousness. I mean, we're talking about plenty of righteousness. Plenty of righteousness. We're not just talking about just enough. Just enough to be, well, I look good to people. Well, I'm doing better than the world. I don't drink hard liquor. You know, I'm not as bad as the world. I don't watch X-rated movies a lot. I'm not as bad as the world. And for a lot of the church world, many folks are just living one step above the world. We're not supposed to be one step above the world. We're to be multiple steps above the world. We're to be far above. Come on. We're a city set up here on a hill. We're the light of the world. Glory to God. We need to come up higher and higher and higher. The word refers to us as living epistles. Man, the world needs to be able to read us. We need to be up high where they can see us. And I'm just shy. It's not my personality. Change it. Change it. Shy. I mean, I was shyer than shy growing up. Are you kidding me? I was hiding behind my parents' leg. You know, my mom or my dad. I'd be hiding behind their legs, standing at the neighbor's door next door. Trying to talk to the neighbor, and I'm hiding behind there, hanging onto their leg. And they're trying to bring me out here. Very shy. First time I got up to preach, man, I was frozen. But I just kept pressing it, kept working it. Bless God, determined to be what God called me to be. To do what he called me to do. I wasn't going to take a back seat, but I was going to get in the driver's seat of the will of God for my life and go as far and as high as I can possibly go in him. And bless God, by the grace of God, we're excelling. We're excelling. Like the Amplified says, we're even becoming more expressive. Learning to express ourselves. Learning to get out of us what's on the inside of us. That's something you got to learn to do. To learn to be you in the face of pressure to be something else. To be someone else. To live up to someone else's expectation and image of you. You've got to press through it and excel at expressing yourself as who you are in Christ. I'm not talking about expressing yourself according to the flesh. I'm talking about expressing you, who you are according to the Spirit. You are righteous. You are holy. You are awesome. You are new creations in Christ Jesus. A brand new breed of beings that God has created in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. You're awesome. Don't you quit. Don't you back down just because you had a bad experience or a bunch of bad experiences. You don't back down. You don't quit. You press in. Come on. You put your teeth together. You do what you got to do, but you press. And you break through and you become everything God, you know God has called you to be. You're called to be excellent. You're called to lead the way for people. Come on. You're to be a light to this world. Create a path. Cut through. Cut through those thorny weeds and things of the flesh that have bound you and held you back. Just keep cutting and slashing and pressing and moving. If you fall down, get up. Repent. Have confidence in the blood of Jesus and keep cutting and cutting and slashing and moving and cutting and cutting. And by doing that, bless God, you're going to lead the way and create a whole new path that a whole lot of folks can see and follow. Come on. Blaze the trail. Blaze the trail. It's not always fun. It's not always popular. It doesn't always feel good. Sometimes there's a lot of suffering in it, but that's how we can learn this obedience to God and do his will. We're not going to let persecution, opinions, feelings, mistakes, trip-ups, fumbles stop us. Don't dwell on your mistakes. Don't dwell on your victories and don't dwell on your mistakes and you'll do great. If you dwell on your victories too long, you get satisfied with yourself. And if you get satisfied with yourself, your forward motion will stop. You say, well, bless God, look at that. I'm better than these three people right here. Ain't that good enough for me? I will not be satisfied until I awake in his likeness. You've been created to be number one, in number one. The Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to excel. We're going to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Notice this over in 2 Thessalonians. Are you excited about being a Christian? Are you excited about being a child of God? If you're not excited about it, you ain't going to go anywhere in this Christian life. You got to be excited about what God has done for you. You got to be excited about what He has made you and what He's called you to be. Get excited, glory be to God. Turn to somebody and tell them, say, I'm getting really excited. You got to get excited. This is exciting. And you can do it. Yes, you can. Why? Because you got the grace of God. You've got the Spirit of God. You've got the power of God in you. And if God is for you, who could be against you? You're going to excel in everything. Hallelujah. You're going to excel in this righteousness. Pop up fruits all over the place. Just pop out fruits on your branches all over the place. Just excel in righteousness. Excel in love. Excel in faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. Friend, this church here at Thessalonica, they were doing it. They had a reputation for doing it. For doing what? For abounding in the love of God, so that everyone knew it. People could see it. It was recognizable. He says, your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds. All of them. All these folks. That must be an exciting church to be around. I mean, we're not just talking about one or two people. We're talking about the whole group. The whole group has got this. The whole group has got this. The whole church has gotten a hold of this, and they're doing it, and they're growing, and they're overflowing in the love of God. They're rich in the love of God. They're well supplied, overflowing with the love of God. Man, what kind of church is that to walk into? That's exactly the kind of church we're becoming. Huh? Yes. Every one of us. Every one of us. You know, if one of you aren't doing it, guess what? It can't be said that every one of you at Life Faith Bible Church is abounding. It's my goal to see to it that every one of you are abounding in the love of God. Every one of you. Praise God. It needs to be your goal too. We need to have a reputation in heaven. Amen. And if an apostle Paul came walking in here and hung around for a little while, he would know right away. I'm telling you, church, the love of God is abounding in every one of you. And your faith is growing exceedingly. I was here last year, and I mean, you were great last year, but now look at the faith that is in this place. And we're just taking ground. We're just taking stuff for the kingdom of God. We're just taking it. We're just taking it. Taking what? Taking all the good things that God has for us. He's got good things for us to take. And it's not just to be taken for ourselves. We're to have more than what we need. We need to prosper way out beyond ourselves and take way more than just what we need. It's not about just getting your needs met. We're talking about way more than that, because we're talking about leading people. We're talking about affecting others. We're talking about possessing the world for God. That's what we're called to do. To be a part of possessing the world for God. Possess the land. Jesus said, go into all the world. preach the gospel. He said, when this gospel of the kingdom has been preached in all the world, and the end will come. Then the end will come. He's waiting for it to be preached in all the world. Why? Because he wants the world. He wants everyone that he can possibly get to be saved, to be gotten. He's called us to possess the land, possess the world, possess way more than just our own needs. We're to excel and abound and go way beyond getting our own needs met. We need people with faith and love to spare. I said, we need people with faith and love to spare. In other words, you're not just using up all your faith and love for yourself. We need to excel to the place where we're taken care of. In fact, why don't you just go ahead and retire? Just retire when it comes to you. And just know, as for me, I'm good. But now, as for God and his kingdom, oh yeah, we got stuff to take. We got lots to do. There's work to be done. There's lands to be possessed. And we're not just talking about you having some beachfront property somewhere or some kind of cabin up in the mountains. Go ahead and take it if you'd like. But don't stop there. Bless God. Start believing God for land for the church. Yes. Start believing God as you're driving down the road saying, see that land over there, that patch of land? We're going to have that. Yes. See this house? They're going to have to move this house out. But see, we're going to have that. Come on, we're talking about getting out beyond ourselves, believing for something much greater because we're a part of something much greater than just ourselves. We're a part of the body of Christ. We're a part of the kingdom of God. We got to be kingdom-minded, body of Christ-minded. And so we need to rise up. We need to overflow. We need to excel in everything. We're not to be satisfied with our portion in this world. We want to give God his portion of this world. We're going to give him his portion. Can you say amen? He said what over in Romans 8:37? He said that we are more than conquerors. We're not just conquering, we're more than conquerors. Man, that's over the top conquering. I said that's over the top conquering. You know where it talks about your faith grows exceeding? That word exceedingly means outstanding. To an unusual degree. Extremely. You got extreme faith. You got outstanding faith. We can say it this way. You got fanatic faith. You got fanatical faith. You got too much faith for just you. You got so much faith that you got to get things for others. You got to believe things for others. In fact, here at the church, we're starting some prayer groups. We're going to have different ones assigned to different areas of the ministry for them to be able to use their faith and use their spare love to reach out and be a blessing to others. We're going to have folks praying for the leadership and staff of this church. That's what they do. They're using their faith. They're not just praying, oh, God bless them. Now, as far as my needs go. No. We're talking about folks that are going to take the horns of the altar. They're going to stir up their faith. They're going to get in the word. They're going to study scripture. They're going to build themselves up to believe God, to be able to bring a supply of strength and anointing and wisdom from heaven to the leadership of this church. To the women's ministry, the men's ministry, the church body in general, security of the church, children's ministry, new and young attendees, youth, outreach ministries, finances of the church and its members. How many would like some folks that are fervently praying for your finances? Not just believing for their own, but they're believing God for you. to have more than enough financially, to excel, to come to the top financially. Hallelujah. Yeah. Folks that'll pray and believe God for Louisville, for the city, for Kentucky, the state, for the country. Amen. Stand up. Pray for these things. We'll be adding to that. If you got some things stirring in your heart, you tell us. See, I got some things I'd like to pray about, use my faith on. Let me know if there's some people that want to join with me. Come on. God's looking for an army of conquerors, those that are more than conquerors. We are a part of the army of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 18, this charge or command I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. You know, if it's good enough for Timothy, it's good enough for you and I. You know, you're supposed to be waging war. What does that mean? You need to be starting some fights. There's some devils you need to be picking on. There needs to be some territory that you just need to decide that you're going to walk on over into and tread upon and possess with the faith of God. Again, we're not to be on the defense. Just hoping. You know, I think a lot of folks read that. Wage a good warfare. We know that devil's coming down hard on you. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight them off. Fight them off, yeah. We know they're coming down on you. That's our idea of warfare. Fight so you don't get your head kicked in. Don't just sit there and let the devil step on it. Here, God, hold your shield up and fight them off you. Like a bunch of mosquitoes, you know, just keep swatting. That's what a lot of folks, their picture, that's what their picture is. Meanwhile, no, that's not it at all. When you pull up, you've got a sign on your car that says, pest control. For this purpose have I come, that I might destroy the works of the devil. And we're going to get into other people's houses, and we're going to get all the little termite devils. Huh? Pest control guy, he could just stay at his own house and say, you take care of your house, I'll take care of mine. Thank God there's people you could call up. Their houses, I'm sure, are well taken care of. But bless God, thank God there's some folks you could call up that they've got some ammo, they've got some time, they've got what it takes to come over to your house and go get the termites out of your house and get the bugs out of your house. Isn't that right? That's who you are to the world, to others. You got the goods. I said, you got the, you are loaded. You're loaded, man. Your house is taken care of. There's no termites. Termites try to, little termite demons try to come into your house. It's like bite and steal. Trying to mess with your house spiritually. That's like, it's like biting steel. You don't have to worry about the devil. Far above him. No, we're waging war. We're starting battles. We're looking for a new battle to fight. Why? Because we're more than conquerors. That's who we are. And we're living this abundant life. We're abounding in everything, everything. We're excelling. We're taking over, church. I said, we're taking over. Slap somebody and said, we're taking over. Praise God. Do it nice, though. That's what he said. That's why he created man in the very beginning. You understand the world had a devil problem before man ever got here? Before man was ever formed, the world had a devil problem. Lucifer had already been thrown down and become Satan, was bound in chains of darkness. He was already here. And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion, absolute rule and authority over the earth, and let's bless them and command them and commission them to go out and subdue the earth. What does that mean? That means conquer it and bring it into subjection. I want man to subdue this place, conquer it, bring it into subjection. Bring this whole planet under the control of the glory of God. Under God's government. That's what man was created to do from the very beginning. But the man failed to do it. Bless God, Jesus came and reestablished the purpose of God for man. And all that believe on him, bless God, they are able to come in line with that original plan of God and begin to go out and subdue it. Subdue it. Conquer it. We're called to conquer it. Bring it into subjection. We're not just sitting back watching. What's the devil going to do next in America? It doesn't look good for America. It looks like America going under. I wonder what's going to happen next. Instead of waiting around watching what's going to happen next, let's just rise up and tell the devil what's going to happen next. I got news for you. What's going to happen next? We're going to have an outbreak of the glory of God in my day, in my generation. You're going to see the light of God rising up in this place. Come on. God don't need a whole lot of folks to turn the world upside down. He just needs you and I. And if anybody else can do it, we're going to just go ahead and do it. But bless God, he's got a network of folks, praise God, that are out there that we're going to discover in the not too distant future. God's bringing us together. I'm telling you what, God's got a plan, and you're a part of it. We're here to subdue. We're not here to be subdued. Man, a church is really going to start coming under persecution. Let me tell you exactly what's going to happen. What's going to happen is, see, these new laws that have been established. See, what's going to happen is, see, pastors are going to start getting thrown in prison, saying we're all going to get our heads cut off, and you say the next thing. And we're all just going to sit around talking about all the bad things the devil's going to do to us. Really? Wow, you sound like more than a conqueror. You sound like a subduer. That's what the church is talking like. We're not going to sit back and idly just watch the enemy come in like a flood and take over things. When the enemy comes in like a flood, and he does, the Lord lifts up a standard against him. And bless God, you and I are that standard. We are the church of the living God. We're the ark in the dark in these last days that are going to rise up on top of the floodwaters of the enemy that are coming in, praise God, and we're going to have plenty of room to be able to pull people into the boat. Now, I can't make you get in the boat, but bless God, I'm going to give you every opportunity and every chance to do it. I'm certainly not just going to go down the flood. Just go down in the flood. Come on. We're superheroes. We're going out of here in a blaze of glory. I said, we're going out of here in a blaze of glory. Woo, hallelujah. Everything blazing. Praise God. Enemy's not going to be able to overthrow us. We're overthrowing him. You know, I've written a book called The Truth Concerning the Great Tribulation. You ought to read it. It's in bookstores near you, real near you, right in the back of this church. Hey, man. And we're not talking about a group of folks in the last days that are just being slapped around. We're doing the slapping. We're doing the freaking out. We're not freaking out. We're freaking folks out. Huh? We're scary. You're scary. Devils are afraid of you and I. I said demons are afraid of you and I. So he says, this charge I commit to you, 1 Timothy 1:18. Son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that you may wage a good warfare. A good warfare. I like that. Warfare is good. Oh, no war, just peace. Peace, brother. Peace, brother, I don't believe in war. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. And you don't even know who you are. There ain't no peace till there's first war. We've got to subdue some things to bring peace to other people. There's some things you've had to do, some things you've had to get violently serious about and subdue in the battleground of your own mind in order for you to have peace of mind. And that battle continues on. But that's just being defensive. And that battle is there. But you and I, bless God, are to be offensive also. More than that. Come on. More than that. Praise God. We've got to subdue some things to bring peace to other people. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Did you know you were a soldier? Did you know you were a soldier? Did you know you're in the military? You're in the military. I got news for you. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Notice there it is again. Engaged in what? Warfare. Warfare. We're engaging the enemy in warfare. Engaged in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. See, that's who we're really fighting for. We're not fighting for our own lives, fighting to save ourselves, fighting to protect ourselves. No, bless God, we got that. Now it's to get beyond that and start fighting for the King. Start fight. We're his soldiers. We're not our own soldiers. We're his soldiers. Say, I'm his soldier in the army of the Lord. No one engaged in war entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. That word, engaged in warfare, those words are one Greek word. It means to make a military expedition, to lead soldiers to war or to battle. You're a leader. You need to lead a whole host of soldiers to war, to battle against the enemy, to do military duty. We're talking about engaged in warfare. To do military duty. Be on active service. Be a soldier to fight. Someone says, I'm a lover, not a fighter. No, real love does fight. True love does fight. It fights for others. It fights for others. I said it fights for others. Are you ready to fight? Are you ready to really enter the battle now? Come on, I can't hear you in this house tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to engage the enemy? And somebody say, lock and load. Let's rise up. Let's go in, bless God, and possess this land for Jesus Christ. Let's take over this place, for we are more than conquerors. Can you say amen? Somebody say, I'm moving to the front. I'm taking the lead. I'm going to rise up and excel in everything. I approve only of things that are excellent. I am the best. I am God's number one. I am number one in number one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I am of I am. I am seated in Christ Jesus, far above all evil. I am blessed. Coming in, going out. I'm not a little blessed. I'm mega blessed. I'm the head, not the tail. I am above. I'm not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror, and I'm conquering. I'm subduing. I'm bringing into subjection this world around me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you're excited, shout unto God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.